you, man. Wonderful words, and may God help us to do our part in teaching and training others and perpetuating the Christian faith in this land and the regions beyond. I'd like to encourage you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, please. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Our sincere desire is to encourage God's people to be a witness for Jesus Christ. So that is the purpose within the Life Stages Bible studies for this term. So please pray with me and pray for each of the teachers that God would give them wisdom to encourage the people of God. We might encourage one another to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This morning I'd like to look at some prerequisites to being an effective witness for Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to begin here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. It reads, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, or allowed him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." Let's bow for prayer for one more time. Heavenly Father, please fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us into truth, we pray. And O God in heaven, I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of need. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do ask. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we have the testimony of a man that was converted to Jesus Christ. This man's life was dramatically changed for the better, and glory be to God for that. The Bible teaches us in verse 15, "And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil." This was a demon-possessed man. "And had the legion sitting, no longer a madman, clothed, once roamed naked, and in his right mind, a madman, now has a sound mind." And the Bible teaches us they were afraid. They just couldn't believe the transformation that had taken place in this man's life. And yet the Bible teaches us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. God has the power to change. The Christian faith is not a message of reformation, it's a message of transformation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And this madman, this demonically controlled man that lived amongst the tombs, the Bible teaches us, that nobody could control, was absolutely crazy. And yet when he was confronted with the claims and person and the work of Jesus Christ in his life was dramatically changed. And that's the Christian message. It's a message of transformation. And God is in the business of changing people's lives for his glory. And one of the prerequisites of being an effective witness for Jesus Christ is that you and I need to make sure that we are part of God's family, that we have been transformed by the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. So this man's life was dramatically changed to the point that the Bible teaches us in verse number 17 and 18, "And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast," and the Bible teaches us, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with a devil prayed him," or begged him, "that he might be with him." So this man's life was changed so dramatically that he wanted to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And And my friend, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you will likewise want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll want to be with His people. Now He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. If you are in Christ, then you are with Christ, and He promises never to leave you nor forsake you. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll want to be with His people. You'll want to spend time with the people of God. And this man was no exception. He was dramatically changed. God had dramatically changed this man's life. Once a madman, now he has the peace of God in his soul, and he wanted to be with the Lord Jesus. And he begged Him. He begged Him, said, Lord Jesus, can I go with You? And note the response there in verse number 19, that Jesus Christ said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. So Jesus Christ wouldn't allow him to be with him because he said, I want you to go home. Go back to your friends. Go back to your family and tell them what I've done for you. The same event is recorded in Luke chapter 8 verses 38 and 39. And in that passage, it reads that Jesus said to this man to go and show them the great things I've done for you. Go and show them by your life and tell them with your lips how God has been compassionate towards you. And note the response there in verse number 20. The Bible teaches us, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. The word Decapolis means 10. 10 cities that were dominated by the Romans, and this man wasted no time in going from city to city proclaiming the claims of Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ had changed his life dramatically. And beloved, this morning, if you and I know Jesus Christ as Savior, so likewise we are commissioned to go back to our friends, to go back to our families, and to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So this man grew up in that area, and he spared no expense nor time to go from city to city proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. My friend, God has called us to be a witness. And for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, God has given you a tongue to speak forth His praises. And this is what this man did. He was a witness for his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the foundational prerequisite in order to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ is to make sure that your life, my life, has been changed by the power of God in the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, that you and I truly know that we're born again and a part of God's family. Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he will not see or enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, is physical, is sinful, but that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. And Jesus said, don't marvel, you must be born again. You've been born from below physically, you need a spiritual birth. And my friend, this morning I trust and pray that you can relate to what I'm saying. Now if this makes no sense to you, I would dare say that possibly you need to come and see us and so we can show you from the Bible how you can be born again and be a part of God's family. Because God will not only save you, He will change your life for the better. There was this madman living in a gravesite, cutting himself, screaming and yelling to all hours of the morning. And when he was confronted with the claims of Christ, his life was dramatically changed. That's the Christian message. That's the message that made this nation great. And that's the message that we need to proclaim as the people of God. But you need to make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour. Turn with me, please, for a moment to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Concerning this issue of assurance, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it reads, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." If you back up to verse 11, appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. So the apostle Paul is making reference to the fact that he has suffered because he is dead to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, verse 12, "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." I know whom I have believed. "And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So in spite of the persecution, in spite of the difficulty that the Apostle Paul endured for the sake of the gospel, he said, "I'm not ashamed because I know in whom I have believed. And I know that God will keep his word. I know that I'm saved forevermore. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life." Where are you at, my friend, this morning? Either you have the Son, Jesus Christ, as your Saviour, or you have not the Son, Jesus Christ, as Saviour. If you have not the Son, the Bible teaches, you have not life. You have not eternal life. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment, the Bible teaches us. Without Christ, you have no eternal life to look forward to. Only eternal damnation in a place called hellfire. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that has the Son has life. Do you have life this morning? Do you have eternal life this morning? Oh, the Bible teaches us that we are dead in sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is Jesus, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you have that life? Do you have that eternal life? Life eternal in Christ? This man, the man of the Gadarenes, his life was dramatically changed because he came in contact with the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And first and foremost, if we are to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ, then we need to make sure that we know him as our Saviour. That we can say, as the Apostle Paul of old, "I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." He had the assurance of eternal life. And my friend, if we are to effectively witness for Christ, if we're to effectively go into the highways and byways and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we need to make sure that we've got that gift. We need to make sure that we know him as our Savior. And then you can go with confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit and witness for the glory of God that Jesus Christ is alive. He lives within me. He has saved my soul. He's put a song in my heart. And I know without doubt that I'm on my way to heaven. I know without doubt that I'm on my way to heaven. Do you have that assurance? Do you want to be a witness for Christ? Well, we need to make sure that we know him. There has truly been a day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible teaches us. And my friend, I'd like to encourage you this morning, if you have any doubt
when he doubts as to whether you belong to Jesus Christ, whether you know him personally as Savior, I'd like to encourage you to allow us to show you from the Bible how you can be born again into the family of God. There needs to be a salvation day. There also needs to be a proper objective, a mission statement, so to speak. And Philippians 1:21 is a great mission statement, a point of existence. The purpose of existence. And if this is your statement for life, I would dare say you are on the right track to being an effective witness for Christ. Note here in Philippians 1:21, the great apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The apostle Paul was mindful of eternity. He understood that that which is eternal is really what matters. Our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And the Bible teaches us not to boast of a tomorrow, because tomorrow might never come. But sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, the Bible teaches us. And may God help us to live for Jesus Christ. And if you want to be an effective witness for Christ, you and I need to make sure that we know him personally as Savior. "These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life." Oh, my friend, that's not an offensive statement. That's a statement of assurance. Oh, I still recall the day I said to a dear lady while visiting, "You can know that you have eternal life. It's possible to know." "To know," she said, "how can you possibly know? Nobody knows." And she slammed the door in my face. What a memorable day that was. Because I walked away rejoicing that I know that I'm on my way to heaven. And this poor thing doesn't realize that fact. We can know that you have eternal life. You can have that assurance. Because based upon the authority of the Word of God, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Full stop. Glory be to God. So once you have that assurance, you know you're saved. If your life purpose is to live for Jesus Christ, then you have the makeup to be an effective witness for Christ. But if you're living for yourself, I doubt you'll be much of a witness. That's the reason why most Christians don't witness. It's true. That's why most Christians won't open up their lips and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, they'll talk about the footy. They'll whinge about our Prime Minister. Complain about inflation. Talk about all sorts of things, but won't speak of Christ. "See, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain," said the Apostle Paul. What a witness he was for Jesus Christ. Gave his soul to proclaim that message. And my friend, for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, for those of you that are planning to attend these life stage Bible studies where you will learn practically how to lead a soul to Christ. Listen, you need to determine, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm going to invest in eternity where moth nor rust doth corrupt. My life's been changed. I need to share it with others and to live for Christ. And rest assured, God will use you. God will use you to be a witness for his glory. You need to have a proper life objective. You need to make sure you're saved. You need to have a proper life objective. Thirdly, this morning, in order to be an effective witness for Christ, we do need a workable knowledge of the Bible. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to have a workable knowledge of the Bible. If you turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 15. The Bible reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The word study means to be diligent. To be diligent in order to be approved of God. A workman. A servant of the Lord. That's not ashamed. Not embarrassed. That rightly divides the word of God. That correctly uses the word of God. If we're to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ, number one, you need to make sure that you have a salvation day. You need to make sure that you are born again into God's family and you have no doubt concerning your eternal destiny. Secondly, you need to have a life objective. And if your life objective is to live for Jesus Christ, God will use you to be a witness for Him. But thirdly, if we're to be an effective witness for Christ, then we need to have a workable knowledge of the Word of God. Now that's going to take some work. That's not just going to happen. That's going to take some diligence. And if you will be faithful to your life stages class, for example, you'll have a concerned teacher that will open up the Bible and teach you how to use the Bible in leading men, women, and children to Jesus Christ. That's why they're there. That's why we have this series for this term. It's to help you to know how to rightly divide the Word of God. To use it correctly. To know what to say. How do you lead a person to Jesus Christ? Is it just a matter of saying, well, you just need to pray a prayer? No, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. My Bible teaches repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The place for repentance, the place of faith, the place of needing to know that one is a sinner and cannot do absolutely zilch to earn merit with God. A person must understand that. They must understand that Jesus Christ is the only remedy. And they must understand that they need to make a deliberate decision to repent of their sin and to turn to Jesus Christ and receive Him as personal Saviour. This is all foundational. It's all in the Word of God. And if you and I are to witness for Christ, you'll need to have a workable knowledge of the Bible. Otherwise, you'll win them to yourself. You won't win them for Jesus Christ. You'll win them unto yourself. You'll just be a glorified salesman. Get them to pray a little prayer. With no life change. Listen, to pray a little prayer with no life change is not conversion. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. That man of the Gadarenes, his life was dramatically changed. Possessed by countless demons, lived in the tombs, an absolute madman. And when he was confronted by the claims of Christ, his life was dramatically changed. That's salvation according to the Word of God. A workable knowledge of the Word of God. A soul winner should know how to use his Bible in order to show people that they are sinners and that Jesus Christ is the only answer. And this is how you receive Him. How do you answer questions like when people will say, well, I'm a good person. I've never murdered anybody. What do you do with people like that that think they're okay? What do you do with people that say, well, how do you know that there is a God? How do you know the Bible's true? If there's a God, why is there such suffering in the world? If there's really one God, why are there so many religions in the world? How do you answer those questions? By diligently studying the Word of God. That's how you answer those questions. And determining that I need to know this book, the sword of the Spirit, if I'm to be effective in witnessing to others about Jesus Christ. I need to know the Word of God. That's why you need to be in church. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. And obey it. So you can grow spiritually. A workable knowledge of the Word of God. You need to make sure that you're a Christian. You need to have a proper life objective. For me to live is Christ. We need to have a workable knowledge of the Bible. Number four this morning, we need to understand the place of prayer. The importance of prayer in soul winning. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 18 and 19. Ephesians chapter 6, 18 and 19. It reads, praying always. This is the final part of the armor of God, referred to here from verse 10. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Note that little phrase, praying always. Note verse 19, please. And for me, pray for me, said the Apostle Paul, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, in prisons, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So the Apostle Paul requested prayer. Pray for me that I will boldly proclaim the Word of God, that I will unashamedly proclaim the claims of Jesus Christ, that I won't be embarrassed concerning the fact that Jesus Christ is the only Savior for this world. He is the only hope of this world, that I will proclaim that message with boldness. Oh, my friend, we need to be praying always. Soul winning is a spiritual work. It's not salesmanship. When we're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's an eternal work. And my friend, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is a devil who opposes the work of God. And in fact, the Bible teaches us that he blinds the eyes of those that do not believe. The devil's out to blind people spiritually. For numb people concerning their need of a Savior. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And He comes to give light and life to all. And we need to pray that God will give us boldness to preach the message of Jesus Christ with wisdom and with great boldness. The place of prayer. Are you keen to be a witness for Christ in 2016? Well, if you are, let me encourage you. Don't neglect the importance of prayer. Begin to pray for those ones that you are determining to share the gospel with. And pray that God will open up opportunities. And then pray that God will give you wisdom in what to say. How to answer their questions or their objections. Oh, we need to pray. We would pray. I have no doubt that we'll be more effective in our witness for Christ. And last but not least this morning, a reliance upon the Holy Spirit.
a reliance upon the blessed Holy Spirit. He that indwells the born-again child of God. We must rely upon Him. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the first part of that verse reads, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So God gives us the power to be a witness, the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches us you will receive this power with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Therein lies the power to be a witness for Jesus Christ. So we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit, not upon our tact or our cleverness or our grand personality or our gift of the gab. No, we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God. We need to ask the Spirit of God, fill me with your presence. Anoint me with your power that I might be an effective witness for Christ. Listen to me. Simon Peter preached one message and over 3,000 people were converted to Jesus Christ. They were not only converted, they were scripturally baptized by immersion. Why is that? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit indwells you as a child of God. The problem is most of us ignore Him. That's our problem. Did you say good morning to the Holy Spirit this morning? Let me give you some advice at no extra charge. If you want to live in the reality of God's presence, say, greet the blessed Holy Spirit each morning. Good morning, God the Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, blessed Holy Spirit. I'm honored that you indwell me. Fill me today. Use me to be a witness for your glory. And God will use you to be a witness for His glory. Some simple but yet profound prerequisites in being an effective witness for Christ. Number one, you need to make sure that you're a Christian. Number two, you need to have a purpose, a proper life objective. And I'd like to encourage you, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Thirdly, we need to have a workable knowledge of the Bible. We need to be prepared to study, to learn, be teachable. Some of you will be in these classes on soul winning and you know how to lead a soul to Christ. But may I encourage you, come with a heart to learn more so, to be sharpened. Amen. Principle number four, you need to pray. Don't neglect prayer. And last but not least, don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge His presence. Ask Him to fill you, and God will use you for His glory. Beloved, may God help us to be a witness for Jesus Christ. On this first Sunday of February, the very day that the first message was preached in our land, it was preached by a gospel preacher, a man that came to this country to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God encourage us this morning to do all that we can to be a witness for Jesus Christ, because people need a Savior. And without Jesus Christ as Savior, people will die and go to hell
and burn in eternity forever from the presence of God. But my friend, God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Jesus Christ has made a way of escape through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we have a charge from God to go everywhere and proclaim that message of grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God help us this morning. Let's bow for prayer.